Acts chapter 4, starting at verse number 23. Again, we're in a series, becoming an e-church. This third leg of this series, which is subtitled on becoming an energized church. And last week we talked about being an energized church through praise and worship. And today we're going to focus on becoming energized through prayer. So Acts chapter 4. And while you're getting Acts chapter 4, I'm going to go to Acts 4 because I'm in Ephesians 4. Acts chapter 4, starting at verse number 23. On their release, Peter and John went back to their own people and reported all that the chief priests and the elders had said to them. When they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. Sovereign Lord, they said, you made the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything in them. You spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant, our father David. Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth rise up and the rulers band together against the Lord and against his anointed one. Indeed, Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles and the people of Israel in this city to conspire against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed. They did what your power and will had decided beforehand should happen. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus. After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. And all the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of their possessions was their own, but they shared everything they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and God's grace was so powerfully at work in them all. I have shared with you on many of occasion how cool it is, how wonderful it is to be a part of something special. I probably shared with you on many occasions, playing basketball in high school and my varsity basketball team in our junior year, we had this role where we won like 17 games in a row and we fell one game short of the state semifinals. And that was a heartbreaker. But I remember that year because I was part of something special. I don't know how many of you know, but where's Brian at? Brian, yeah, he's probably over there texting. Stand up, Brian. That's all right, man. Stand up. Brian is a member of the Pickerington Central Tigers who are headed to the state championships, I think, right? You, how many catches you have last game? Zero. But he's still part of something that's special. It's so cool, right, Brian, to be part of something special. He's in the hallway. We going to the States. There's something about being part of something that's special. I would imagine if we could interview some members of the early church, that they would categorize their experience as being something that was indeed special. It was a special time. It was a unique experience. It was a radical experience. It was an overwhelmingly life-changing experience. The book of Acts, of course, is the story of our church, the genesis of our church. It is the story and the history of the first disciples. Remember earlier in this book, we read about thousands of people, primarily Jews, coming to Jesus Christ. This early group of disciples took serious their newfound relationship with God through Jesus Christ. And their excitement and their seriousness about what was taking place was displayed in a summary that was written a couple chapters over in chapter 2, starting at verse number 41. It says that those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God, it says, and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. In this summary statement, we see an excited group of people, an energized group of people who, because of their relationship with Jesus, they were passionate about teaching and receiving the word of God. They were passionate about spending time with other people in the community. They were passionate about praying. They were passionate about sharing their possessions so that no one had need. This was an energized church, and it was a time that was special. It was a special time to be a part of this early movement. And it was a movement. It was a unique movement. It was a radical movement. In chapter 3, Peter and John, the apostles, emerge as key characters after they heal a crippled man. Some found that to be in violation of some religious code. Nonetheless, Peter and John seized this opportunity to preach Jesus Christ to those who were there. Again, that upset the religious status quo, and Peter and John were arrested. In our text this morning, we find ourselves with this otherwise unstoppable movement, this early Christian community encountering turmoil. You see, where there is a movement of God, we have to understand that there will be resistance. Where there is the movement of God, we should understand that there will be opposition. Satan, the evil one's least desire is that a movement of God, a movement stamped by the Spirit of God, would flourish. And so Satan, in his instance, uses the religious status quo and the government as a tool of opposition. In verse 18, chapter 4. It says, then they called them in again, Peter and John, and commanded them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. Peter and John were forbidden to say the name Jesus, to preach the name Jesus. And when they, Peter and John, took the news back to their early church community, they, like we do in church all the time, had a meeting. What do you expect to happen at this meeting, church? Solutions, plans, point of action? Certainly you had some that may have said, oh, we'll picket, or we'll riot. We'll let them know that they can't do this to us. We'll show strong opposition. We won't pay our taxes. We'll fight. Then maybe there are others who are saying, hold on now. These guys have weapons. They have muscle. And they can do harm to us. We need to listen to them. We have to give in somehow. Nope. Peter and John took this news back to their church community. They had a meeting. And they prayed. They prayed. When communicating the news that they were forbidden to speak Jesus, when communicating the news that they were now going to begin to experience some harsh opposition, they prayed. I wish that this was the story of our church. I wish that this was the story of our community, that when we run into opposition, when we see opposition, before we draw battle plans, before we draw up a plan of action, before we picket, that we pray. That becomes the story of our lives. Pray before the battle plans. Pray before we put on the boxing gloves. You see, because a church that prays, a church that is energized by prayer, is going to be seen as a church that indeed prays. That's a sign of an energized church, a church that decides to place all situations in God's hand. And that's just an initial mark. The early church was an energized church, and an energized church is a church that prays. It's a church that prays to God who can handle it. Verse number 24, they address God as sovereign God or sovereign Lord. That is to say that God, you are in control. You have everything under control. Everything is in your hands. We trust you as the one who can handle this. We may have our part. You may use us. But at the end of the day, you are the one that's pulling the strings. You're in control. An energized church is a church that prays to and worships its creator. And verse number 24, they cry out to this God, the God who made the heavens and the earth. An energized church is a church that prays, recognizing who the enemies are. The enemies in this instance are those being used by the government, are those that represent the religious status quo, not each other. Later on, when we read this summary statement of this group of people coming together, they understand that it's not about fighting with each other to fight the enemy. If we fight each other, we can't defeat the enemy, church. An energized church is a church that prays in unity with one another. An energized church is a church that prays to be led and moved by the Holy Spirit. Verse number 31. After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. They prayed for boldness. God filled them with the Holy Spirit, and they did exactly what they asked. An energized church is a church that prays to be led and moved by the Holy Spirit, and it is a church that prays about the value of community. Emerging out of this prayer, or at least the writing about this instance, we get a summary statement about this early community that's like the summary statement in chapter 2 and verse number 32. All the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of their possessions was their own, but they shared everything they had with great power. The apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and God's grace was so powerfully at work in them all. An energized church is a church that prays to continue sharing the hope of the resurrection with boldness. That's been asked several times by many people. Are we a church that believes in the endless possibilities that are before us if we would only allow ourselves to be energized through prayer? I want to continue to issue a series of calls and challenges. Last week, I called us and challenged us to be an energized church through praise and worship, that we would value this time of singing songs together and praying together and lifting our hands and voices and hearts to God in praise and worship, and that we would be energized through that. I want to call us today, church, to be a church devoted to prayer, to be a church that is determined to be an energized church through prayer. And I want to invite you into some practical ways to be active in prayer. Four ways. Number one, pray. That's a simple one, but it's one that I imagine that to many of us is a real challenge. Because many of us struggle with finding time to pray. Oh, we bless our meals. We may say a little blessing before we go to sleep. We may even say a little blessing before we wake up. But do we pray? And maybe you're saying to yourself, I'm not a good prayer. I don't know what to do. I don't know how to pray. I don't know who to pray for. I want to just offer you some practical things to do. Have you ever tried praying the scriptures? I have a book that I use oftentimes. It's called Face to Face. It's called Praying the Scriptures for Daily Meditation. And all it has is are different prayers that you can pray morning, afternoon, and evening. And it uses scripture. We've talked about it before. Have you ever looked at the wealth of Psalms that are nothing more than prayers? Psalm 42, as the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul longs for you, O God. My soul thirsts for the living water. If you're having problems with words to say, use the words that the people of God have used through centuries. the Psalms? What about Jesus himself, his disciples? Luke chapter 11, Lord, teach us to pray. He says, when you pray, pray this: our Father who in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come, your will be done. What we've called the Lord's Prayer. I know in many of our circles we've been discouraged from praying that prayer, but what a wonderful prayer, and all that it talks about. It talks about reverence of God. It talks about the will, things that's going on in heaven, that it be brought here on earth. It talks about being good to one another, forgiving one another. Practical ways. The Jesus Prayer. The Jesus Prayer is a prayer that's been prayed for centuries. The Desert Fathers used this praise where they would simply just repeat this phrase over and over again in deep meditative times, sometimes hours. Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Practical ways, church, I want to challenge you to pray. I want to challenge this body to pray for the body. One of the things I'm going to be starting today, and I'm going to be making a commitment for the rest of my time here at Reynoldsburg, and hopefully that's the next 60 years. I'm going to make a commitment to pray for every single person, every single family in this body every week. What I've done is I've taken the directory. There's roughly 99-100 family units. And I've broken the family units down into 15 families. And every day, I'm going to pray for 15 families. It's not going to take long to pray for 15 families. But I want to be able to come here next Sunday and be able to look everyone in the eye and say, you know what? I prayed for you last week. Now, this isn't something that I have to do by myself. And I would love for someone here to join me in making a commitment to pray daily for the body. If you need a directory, I'll give you a directory. If you want to break it down by, you know, alphabet, or break it down by pay, you do however you want to do. But let's be a church where everyone here knows that they're being prayed for. It's a blessing when people tell me just out of the blue, hey, I'm praying for you, and I didn't have to ask. It's such a blessing to know, you know, people come up to you. I don't want to sing on one, but Wanda comes when every time we talk, we, hey, Dion, love you. I'm praying for you. I've been praying for you. I didn't ask you to pray for me, but keep on, girl. If God is calling you, if you feel the urging of God to be a prayer warrior, I want you to make that known to the body. Maybe you're here and you really believe, and when we do spiritual gift assessments, maybe your gift is prayer. We want you to put that gift to work. We need prayer warriors. Maybe there's a group in this body right now that would commit to getting together on a weekly basis, or getting together on a conference call and praying for the needs of this body. We have a lot of needs. We have people who are sick. We have people who are hurting. We have dreams that need to be fulfilled. And we need people to pray for those dreams. We need people to pray for healing. When people come forward and they express desires of hurt, of spiritual needs, we need a group of people that's going to commit to interceding to God for these people on these people's behalf. If you feel that desire, if you feel that burning desire in your spirit to be a prayer warrior, why don't you come and let me know that? Let me know, and we'll put you to work. And I want us to be a body that's committed to helping others pray. Here's where these cards come into play. It's helpful for me to read prayer books and prayers of people who've prayed throughout the centuries, like Francis of Assisi. He has some of the just greatest prayers. We sing one of his songs, A Simple Prayer, I think it's called. There are many times I just don't know what to say. But it's through the help of people who've prayed through the centuries. It's through the help of people I grew up in church with. I remember, just gotta tell a story, a guy named Sam Smalls. He was aptly named. He was a very short guy. Brother Small. He was just one of the coolest guys. And I loved to hear him pray because it was so simple. You know, I grew up in a King James church. And what that means is when we pray, there were a lot of these and thous. And Lord, we come to thee, to thou with us, to thee them, or whatever the word is. Sam Smalls didn't do any of that. He would just come up to the podium and he'd just address his prayer. He'd just go, "Dear God," I just loved hearing Brother Smalls pray. And weren't too long after hearing him pray that that's how I began my prayers. "Dear God," this and that. Many of you have prayers and things that you say in prayers that may be helpful for other people to hear, other people to see. It may help them pray. For some of you, you're not heard, and I don't hear all of you pray. Here's what I was thinking. I gave you these cards. I want you to keep them anonymous. I don't want you to write your names on them. But if you would, we're going to play a couple songs, just have a time of just meditation. If you would, just write a short prayer on this card. It could be, "God, I pray for healing. God, bless this church. God, lead me in the paths of righteousness for your name's sake." Whatever you so desire, wherever you feel moved to write, if you want to do that. After you do that, I just want you to come up to this board, and there are some pens in these bowls. I just want you to just post it on here. The ultimate plan is for us to put these boards somewhere in this building where if you are feeling a need to come to this place and have a time of prayer, that these boards would be up here, and maybe you come and you want to spend time in prayer, but you just don't know what to say. I want this board to be here, and it's representative of your body, your sisters and brothers, making a commitment to help you pray. You may find yourself seeing something there that you just needed to see and that you needed to pray. "Lord, help me with my husband. Lord, save my child." Sometimes it's just words we just don't know what to say until we see them or we hear them from someone else. So as these songs play, if you would, just prayerfully consider that. And if you feel so compelled, just come up and put your prayer up.
"Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love, according to your great compassion, blot out my many transgressions, and wash away all my iniquity, cleanse me from sin. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love, according to your great compassion, blot out my many transgressions, and wash away all my iniquity. Cleanse me from sin. Merciful God and Father, loving us like no other,
we come to you, we acknowledge our transgressions. We confess to you our sins. Show us mercy and compassion. Touch our lives with your healing grace again. Release us from the past as we seek your face. Wash us free at last. We receive your love. We receive your healing grace. We receive your love. We receive your healing grace. Merciful God and Father, loving us like no other, hear our prayer, the cry of our hearts, as we come to you. We acknowledge our transgressions. We confess to you our sins. Show us mercy and compassion. Touch our lives with your healing grace again. Release us from the past as we seek your face. Wash us free at last. We receive your love. We receive your healing grace. We receive your love. We receive your healing grace.
Come, Spirit, come. Our hearts control. Our spirits long to be made whole. Let inward love guide every need. By this we worship and are free.
Come, Spirit, come, our hearts control. Our spirits long to be made whole. Let inward love guide every deed. By this we Jesus. Jesus will bind our wounds. How he longs to touch us. He is here among us. Let Jesus bind our wounds. Heal the brokenhearted. Feel the brokenhearted. Come and let Jesus bind our wounds. He has not come to condemn, but to give life. Come, receive life. Oh, he will give hope for despair and comfort to all those who mourn. Jesus will bind our wounds. How he longs to touch us. He is here among us. Let Jesus bind our wounds. Heal the brokenhearted. Feel the brokenhearted. Come and let Jesus bind our wounds.
Want to invite you, or we'll leave these up probably for a couple weeks till we can find a more permanent place, but want to invite you to come take a look, to see what men, women, and children wrote as prayers. Please, our God, bless Reynoldsburg as he bless Will Reynolds as he struggles to regain good health. Lord, give me the strength to keep going so that I may be a testament to your power and will. Lord, let me see my wife and children in heaven for eternity. Dear God, bless and meet the needs offered up in faith, asking your name at the Reynoldsburg Church of Christ. Dear God, thank you for another day at life. Words that sometimes we are longing to utter, but we just didn't know how to until we read. Preacher Philip Brooks in the 19th century said, "Do not pray for easy lives. Pray for stronger men and women. Do not pray for tasks equal to your powers. Pray for powers equal to your tasks." Mother Teresa said, "Love to pray. Feel often during the day the need for prayer and take trouble to pray. Prayer enlarges the heart until it is capable of containing God's gift of Himself. Ask and seek, and your heart will grow big enough to receive Him." The Apostle Paul to the Thessalonian Church, chapter 5, and verse 17 said, "Pray without ceasing." It's my call to this church to become a church energized through prayer, that we would not neglect the privilege of prayer, that we would not neglect the call to prayer, that we would be representatives of God and God's people who pray. The elders have made it known that they want to be elders who pray. I want you to know that I want to be a minister who is known as a minister who prays. Deacons, we want you to be deacons who pray. Ministry leaders, we want you to be ministry leaders who pray. Any member, we want you to be a member that prays. Church, we need to be a church that prays. We need to be a church that's devoted to prayer. and energized through prayer. Prayer will come and lead us in a prayer as the deer. And as we sing this song, if you have any needs, if you need have any special needs that you want prayed about, that you want the people of God to surround you and touch you and pray with you, and pray with you in a way that we believe that what we're praying for, God is going to work in on that behalf. We don't offer up empty words. We offer up prayers of faith to God that he's going to do, that he's going to act on our behalf. So if you desire prayers from the body, if you desire to be made known and recognized as a member of this body, you want to give your life to Jesus Christ, we're going to give you that opportunity. You don't have to stand, but we want you to sing this prayer as it is.